You're listening to Sea Change, a five-part series where we discuss how global changes affect your local places in Southeast Alaska. From the mountain rains to the icy waters of Sitka Sound, students in marine ecology bring examples of climate change and ocean acidification into focus for you. Hello, Alaska. My name is Sabrina Garcia, and today I'm joined by my fellow colleagues, Tori Gora.
Hello.
And Michael Langhans.
Hi.
And we are all marine biology students at the University of California, Santa Cruz, doing a field quarter here in Sitka. Today, though, we're here to talk to you about how ocean acidification and warmer waters can have impacts globally, but more specifically here in Southeast Alaska. So we're going to hear a little bit more from Michael about how warmer waters can affect marine life and the systems that they're found in.
Thanks, Sabrina. So one of the largest biological changes associated with warming ocean waters is the speeding up of bodily processes or metabolic rate. The speed of these are linked to temperature, where warmer temperatures will speed it up and cooler ones will slow it down. Now for fish and many other marine animals who are cold-blooded and get their body temperature from the surrounding seawater, this can drastically speed up these processes, requiring a lot more fuel to run smoothly. These processes need oxygen, which is a crucial ingredient for all the reactions happening inside the body. And unfortunately for these fish, these warmer waters can hold a lot less oxygen than the cooler waters that they're used to can.
So you have warmer waters, speeding up of their metabolic rates, and then lower oxygen. What does this exactly mean, though, for the fish?
Well, for larger fish with greater energy demands, these future warmer ocean waters may not have the oxygen that they need to support their faster metabolisms, and they just won't be able to survive. Over generations, this will lead to a reduction in body size towards a smaller one that is better suited for these future lower oxygen ocean conditions.
Future conditions, so is this something that we won't see for some time, or have we already started to see instances of this happening?
Well, actually, Sabrina, this has already been seen in fisheries in the North Sea near Norway and the UK, where the maximum length of fish like haddock and whiting has decreased up to 29% over the past 38 years as temperatures warm. And anecdotally, here in Southeast Alaska, local fishers have noticed that each year they've been landing smaller and smaller fish.
So then what are some things that they should be kind of on the lookout for in the upcoming years?
Well, along with smaller fish just meaning less food and a greater fishing effort required to land the same amount, this could possibly lead to smaller overall fish populations, as larger fish can give birth to exponentially more fish babies than smaller fish can.
So we have warmer waters leading to a real change in the fish sizes and by decreasing them over time. As I mentioned, we also have ocean acidification, the issue of ocean acidification and how that can affect marine organisms and their systems. So Tori, if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so typically when people hear the term ocean acidification, they will think of animals that make shells. But did you also know it's affecting fish?
Well, that makes sense since they're all in the ocean.
Haha. So in lab experiments, scientists are seeing ranges from behavioral changes to significant changes in their senses like smell. And smell is especially important because it can help fish avoid predators, locate mates, and also direct their migration.
So from these lab experiments, what results have come from it?
Well, scientists are seeing that fish, including rockfish, have noticed a difficulty in awareness to detect predators and danger. Fish like clownfish are not finding a safe place on a reef, and there's also a change in normal behavior.
Clownfish, you can also see these changes in rockfish as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Rockfish like here in Sitka.
Right.
So besides those two, are there any other fish that we can possibly see this change in?
Well, we know that fish are affected from the tropics to cold waters, but scientists are also asking if this plays out on salmon. So salmon, because they're able to make that jump from the freshwater to saltwater and then back again, may be better suited to withstand chemical changes in their environment. But then there's still that concern that ocean acidification may cause them to experience similar changes in behavior and in their senses.
And so this is more of a direct impact of how ocean acidification can affect these fish. Like you mentioned in the beginning, when people hear ocean acidification, they kind of think of organisms that make shells. And so an example of this is with these marine snails called pteropods. And these guys, just like land snails, have shells that are made up of calcium carbonate. And when they are put in water that has that's more acidic or more corrosive, it kind of chips away or dissolves their shell. And this is important because these pteropods act as the base of food webs that a lot of other marine organisms like salmon rely on. And so we have these two really important issues of these warmer waters affecting fish sizes and ocean acidification affecting fish populations, both from the top down and bottom up. And hopefully with these examples, we've been able to provide some more understanding of how these two issues will affect Southeast Alaska. And so, like I said, my name is Sabrina Garcia, and I was joined by Tori Gorat and Michael Langhans. In the next segment, you will be hearing more about rain shifts and how timing of natural events can also be affected by climate change. So thank you for listening.
Sea Change is a podcast produced by students from the University of California, Santa Cruz, with direction from Dr. Christy Croker. Our music is by Poddington Bear, and this series was done in collaboration with the Sitka Sound Science Center and KCAW.